Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Beyond 180. I'm Alex Gaines, your Expansions Program Manager, and I'm joined by...
Hi, this is Jose.
Yes. You remember Jose from the last episode? He is the producer on the show. He makes all of this possible by editing and producing our content.
You definitely make my job easier, so
thank you. I felt that right here in my heart. On today's episode, we are very fortunate to be joined by Dee Dee Dago. She is the Vice President of Corporate Sales and Marketing, and she oversees about 400 call agents within our company. And with her, we're going to be discussing marketing a vision, because when you have a vision, not only for your department or even if the organization has a division, it's important that your team members or your, and even your leaders, if you're a leader of leaders, right, understand what that vision is so that they can buy into it, not only the first time, but continuously buy into that vision so that they're delivering on that perceived goal. So in today's episode, we are going to be talking about several things. We're going to hear Dee Dee discuss things like over-delegation, investing in the next generation, how you can make up your own baseball cards for your team to create a compelling scoreboard. And friends, get ready, because we just might hear Dee Dee sing today. She might drop a few bars. I'm kind of looking forward to that. I hope this happens. All right. So sit back, relax, and listen to the sweet sounds of marketing a vision. Conversation and different things like that.
Okay.
But first, I saw that Clemson won.
They won in a very big way. And they are 2 right now, so that's a little...
They're number 2?
They're number 2. Alabama's won. Yeah. And I watched Alabama score. They won. They'll remain in the first place, but
right.
We will still make it to the national championship game.
I believe that.
Yeah. Young team, but they're doing fabulous.
I was actually telling Jose, I was like, I wonder if Clemson won this weekend and how she's going to feel about that. And so we just like looked and I was like, oh, wow. It was like 45 to what, 14?
Yes. I think it was 28 to 0 like the first quarter.
Wow. Yeah. And even with the points they gave up, they still got some back, which is crazy.
Absolutely.
Anywho, we could go on and on about that.
Thank you for that.
Yes, you're welcome. So one question that I like to start this off with is just asking you, seem to have a very clear understanding of what it means to present a vision and follow through and keep people going with that vision. So I'd love to know if that sort of mentality came about because you had a vision for yourself. And if you have always had a vision for yourself, how do you feel like you followed through with that vision and achieved it? And how have you been able to do so over time?
Yeah, I think early on, you know, by nature, I'm a communicator.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to continue conversations. Mm-hmm. And so over the years, I have found myself being able to really communicate what the goal of the team is. It starts, you know, it funnels down from our CEO, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the company's goals? And then translating that, how does our department or departments impact the overall goal?
Right.
So as silly as it sounds, I like to break it down to the basics so that people can understand I am making a difference and what I do makes a positive impact.
Right. There's a golden nugget there,
mm-hmm.
where you mentioned you're a communicator naturally. In order for people to keep up with the vision and buying into it, you have to continuously keep communicating that vision in a way that they understand.
Exactly.
And it seems like that's definitely something you've been doing your entire life, which has helped you to kind of continue on this path to achieving your own goals.
I think a lot of times it's not so much just telling and walking away.
Mm-hmm.
I think not only do you have to explain what the vision is, but you have to be part of the overall strategy yourself. Like, in other words, you have to understand what your people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I find myself close enough to the team where I pretty much know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
with most of the people that work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking down to the agent level. So many leaders that I've met along the way don't even know who the people are that work for them.
That's big.
And so I don't know how I assimilate this information. Somebody once said I must have osmosis, where I just assimilate information and I have my ear to the ground.
Right.
And I'm very much about, I want my leaders to be brilliant at the basics. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times if the ask is too high, right, and you start having all these ideas and strategies, and it may sound great, right, in a group setting, but then the reality is you have to be brilliant at the basics, mm-hmm. the basic blocking and tackling of everyday production life. So I've led production teams, and so there's a report card at the end of every day. Mm-hmm. And so if you break it down seriously by 30-minute hour blocks, mm-hmm. the goals become a lot easier to obtain mm-hmm. than these big, huge, lofty goals.
And I like what you're saying there about having these report cards, or as I would like to call them, sort of scoreboards.
Yes.
Because that's something that's brought up continuously in Franklin Covey's Four Essential Roles of Leadership, where you can have a vision, but it's also helpful to have some sort of scoreboard that allows people to see their progress so they don't feel like they're doing all of these things for nothing or that it's not making an impact. They can see where they are, where they stand, and there aren't any surprises.
Exactly.
Along the way.
And in fact, it's funny that you say scoreboard, because we developed something called the baseball card.
Oh.
And the baseball card is basically distributed every Monday.
Okay.
And what it does is it'll show individual agents, team managers, and divisionals what their scores are for the last 6 weeks, the last week, how they are doing compared to their peers.
Right.
How they're doing compared to all the other teams.
Right.
So everybody knows exactly where they stand and what their scores are at any given moment.
Right. Do you see that it allows or encourages your team members and your leaders to talk to each other about, okay, I see I'm falling behind, or I see I'm doing well. What are some things, what's some reinforcing feedback that I can keep doing to keep doing well? And
yes.
What are some things that I can work on to redirect my behavior so that I can do just as well as the other team or whoever, or meet my goal that may or may not be specific
exactly.
to my team?
Exactly. And we do establish, who needs help with goals, and our team managers do 10 ride evaluations and coaching every single week.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide them with the information on who they would need to sit down with. And everything, everybody can see everybody's ride evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's uploaded in one of our drives, right? But also we have daily action plans for team managers. So we are continually looking at not only just the agents, mm-hmm. the people on the front line, but the managers that manage them and the managers who manage managers.
Right.
So that we are constantly aware of how everybody's doing, and we can look at trends mm-hmm. at a glance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how you will see in one given week, a trend will just jump off the page, so to speak.
Wow.
And then you can gather the troops in and go, let's talk about this trend. And realign so that you don't wait for something to happen and not know, how did we make the wrong turn?
I'm shooken. So many things that you just said there that really jump out to me. Number one being about trends, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that a lot of times as leaders, we can forget that one of our roles is to lead at this higher level,
right,
and not get lost in the trenches. Though, of course, there are times where maybe you as a leader might have to roll up your sleeves and help the team out in case something unforeseen happens. But for the most part, if you can really get your team and just your leadership to a specific place,
yes,
your ability to lead at a higher level and spot these trends is what can just help to make the journey to getting to your
yes.
vision just yep. achievable.
It's a unique balance because you do have to be you have to go into the trench sometimes,
mm-hmm.
right, to see exactly what's going on, but you have to be able to get out of the trench.
Mm.
And, the empowerment, we talk about empowering other leaders.
Right.
I think, one of the things that I've always said, all right, what is one of my strengths is being able to hire the right people
right.
for the right position. And so if you have the right leadership team mm-hmm. working with you, your board of directors, so to speak,
yes.
You become more adaptable. Mm-hmm. So our team runs we have a very fluid, we can adapt to anything, whether it could be an issue with technology one day. It could be a hurricane coming. It could be we have, 20% of the people that are on the floor this week are new hires.
Right.
And they don't know really their craft yet. So we are able to be very fluid in how we can change our game plan in the moment, in the day, mm-hmm. in the week, in the month.
Right. That's incredible. Oh, my goodness. Thinking about your specific world, corporate marketing and sales,
yes.
and being the vice president, yes.
Yay.
There are a lot of different things that your team members have to do, right, to support our organization. Mm-hmm. And I remember at one point when we were talking, you were saying that your team is responsible for making sure that a certain number of packages are mm-hmm. available to owners or potential owners.
Yes. So we have a couple of different teams. We have a couple of specific teams mm-hmm. called Transfer being the largest.
Right.
And so we have calls coming in from all of our IHG reservation offices, mm-hmm. primarily in the Philippines, Dominican Republic, and Jamaica would be wow. our newest. And so between Dallas, mm-hmm. the Arlington call center, in Orlando, we will have close to 400 agents wow. receiving those calls and delivering 165,000 packages. And then our smaller team would be our owner team, mm-hmm. and they focus primarily with existing owners and owner referrals on a much smaller scale, but still very impactful to the bottom line.
And that's such a huge thing to take on,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And to be able to encourage these team members to say, all right, we're going to work with these owners and potential owners to
yes.
hopefully take these packages. And just kind of taking a step back to our earlier conversation about a scoreboard and mm-hmm. making sure that people are holding themselves accountable, would you attribute your team's success to selling those packages and things like that to the scoreboard?
I would say the scoreboard just basically shows you how are you doing, mm-hmm. but it's the foundation that you put in place. Mm-hmm. That will tell you, am I heading in the right direction?
Right.
Anything from managing adherence. Mm-hmm. Are people adhering to their schedule?
Right.
We have skill set routing. Mm-hmm. So what agents are getting what calls and in what order?
Right.
We have standards that we, hold our agents accountable to. That ties into reward and recognition and compensation plans and then minimum performance standards to keep your job. Mm-hmm. So all of these things together, and then how are we actually leading the team? How are they being inspired? Mm-hmm. We're getting from what used to be very siloed mm-hmm. 4 years ago. It was a very siloed organization where you were in charge of a specific team, but you didn't really care about anything other than the 14 people that you sat with. Mm-hmm. Whereas now we've evolved to where if one team fails, the department fails. And so we have specific guidelines and specific action plans that and playbooks, if you will, that we have in place where management leaders know exactly what the plan is every single hour of the day.
And not only their plan, but
everyone else's plan.
Yeah.
And what is my part in today's business? And so we bring them together for a certain period of time during the day where they work as a team, but there's a lot of time where they aren't working independently with their own team members that report directly to them. So it's really a combination of both of these things that I think have resulted in, better performance overall.
Right.
And, we continually try new strategies as well. We started offering IHG rewards members 500 points. To transfer and take our call. We implemented something called MPLS, mm-hmm. where the calls transfer immediately from a CRO agent sitting in the Philippines to our team here in Orlando and in Arlington. So we're working on efficiencies everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's our goal. But you, as a leader in our department, you know exactly mm-hmm. what is expected and what your key responsibilities are
right.
on an hourly and daily basis.
I like what you are saying about efficiency, because to me it seems that when something is not efficient, or an organization or a department even isn't working in an efficient manner, that can tend to lead to the team members within that department or organization sort of feeling disengaged from mm-hmm. the vision.
Exactly.
And then over time, you start to see it fall apart.
Yes.
So then I would like to ask you, you know, you always, again, as we started this conversation, you always hear about leaders who say, you know, I started with a vision. I thought I communicated it to my team and everyone involved. And for about a week, they were like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm with it. And then, you know, you disperse. Mm-hmm. And then out of nowhere, no one's buying into it anymore. What are your thoughts on the number one or biggest mistakes that leaders make that can lead to that happening?
I think that the leaders who basically over-delegate and they don't watch their business, mm-hmm. They don't have their ear to the ground, will suddenly wake up one day and not know what happens. Or you've also got leaders who will explain a strategy and then go a completely different route. And so if it's unclear, if you say you're going to follow a path and you don't, then people will become disengaged.
Right.
So because there's a level of trust as well.
That's big.
Very much so. The other thing I think that I have found to be extremely important is you can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. And you also have partners within other departments that you rely upon to be successful. And so your strategy cannot just funnel down, but it has to go across with your recruiting department, right. your talent acquisition team, the training team. They have to understand the journey as well. And it's okay to often reset expectations. And I find that that's what I have to do to get people back on track, is let's reset the expectations and make sure that everybody's on the same page.
And that speaks to the communication you were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. why that's so important. And I love that this conversation is coming back full circle to that, which is communication is key. And I think it says a lot that it's even one of our competencies, right?
Yes.
As you were talking about, with one of the reasons why a vision can fail, I liked what you mentioned about over-delegating. Mm-hmm. Because when we think about time management, right, which is something that we've discussed within the expansions program, the listeners who are here are obviously alumni, so they've gone through that yes. module, right? When we talk about time management, one of the things that we bring up is delegation. But I will even say that I tend to forget that, yeah, you want to delegate, but be careful about over-delegating to the point that you can't continue communication with all the people you've over-delegated to.
Exactly. And when you delegate, doesn't mean you stop inspecting.
I see you.
Mm-hmm. I see you too.
I think that's important, and I'm so glad you brought this point up, because I think that's something that maybe a lot of people and maybe some of our listeners haven't thought about, that just because you delegate something doesn't mean you just pass it off and you leave it and you're like, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you can delegate that thing, but you as a leader should still be available to support and talk that person through it and provide guidance if needed, because that's how a vision is going to get carried out.
Exactly. And also, I think one of the big mistakes that young leaders, mm-hmm. I think, make is, you know, we've talked about this in the past. They can take one of two paths on how they lead a new team. Mm-hmm. But those leaders that are just looking at their own paycheck and what's the score today and how much money did I make, typically don't make it in the long run.
Right.
It's the leaders that really care about making their whole team successful and really leading from the heart. That's huge.
Right.
You know, we don't want folks that are just going to be dictators, and we don't want those folks who are, I'm going to be your best friend and do whatever I can do for you.
Right.
Right. And not hold myself accountable. Right.
Right.
But it's really the people, you know, I ask my leaders, what did you do to inspire somebody else today?
Yeah.
And so that's how you're going to get to the next level.
Right.
By really caring about those that work for you and for their well-being. And if that happens, yours, you will take care of yourself.
Right. And that's a big part of our company values, right? We have creativity, courage, and caring.
Yes.
And caring is something that we as leaders should be doing for our team members, especially if we want them to kind of keep on this path of achieving a vision or a goal that mm-hmm. maybe our department has or our company has, like getting to know them as individuals
yes.
and making sure that they continuously understand why they're doing what they're doing, provide ways for them to sort of check themselves.
Yeah, and I tell you, this company, more so than I think any that I know of, we actually put so much effort into giving our leaders, our newer leaders, tools to do their job. Mm-hmm. You know, expansions, obviously, number one. We have a manager and training program. Mm-hmm. I think we've promoted 8 people mm-hmm. in the last 2 years.
Wow.
For manager and training. We have a weekly training session with Mark Shaw as well. We've written a playbook manual for a brand new team manager.
Right.
Anybody that would be in corporate marketing and sales, right? Not just my department. You know, it's important to invest mm-hmm. in the next generation.
Right.
Because that's what's going to take us into the future.
Right.
And so we really put a lot of effort into yeah. giving them the tools that they need.
And again, that speaks to having some sort of foresight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not just thinking about you and where you are today, but thinking about all of the other things that have to happen beyond you and maybe even, for lack of better terms, behind you, like your successors, to keep that going.
Yes. I mean, what's the growth model? You have to plan for the growth model.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the talent and the human capital in place,
right?
You're not going to see the results.
And you get stuck.
You get stuck.
Yeah.
But it's all about the human capital and talent that you bring.
Man, I tell you what, Jose, this is great.
I enjoyed it, Jose. Jose's a great listener.
He is. He listens to everything we say, and he makes it possible that the editing at the end of the day comes out great.
As long as I can hear it, please, before you post. Thank you.
Yes, we will do that. I really enjoy the conversation we've had around marketing a vision, but in this next segment that I call Beyond the Title.
Oh.
Yes.
Looking under the hood, huh? Okay.
Yes. In this segment, Beyond the Title, mm-hmm. this is an opportunity to talk about just more than just leadership, because I'm sure many people are familiar with you as the Didi to Go
Vice President. Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Corporate sales and marketing.
Oh, please stop. One more. I'm blushing.
But
for those of you that can't see me.
It's true. I see it here. During this segment, I would love to just kind of give the listeners an opportunity to get to know you even more, because obviously I've gotten to talk to you and we've had like awesome conversations. But I have a few questions here that I'd like to ask you.
Okay.
All right. So first, what are your hobbies when you're ready to unwind?
Well, let's see. A fine wine doesn't hurt. It's not a hobby, though. I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression.
True. Allegedly, it's a fine wine yes. that she likes.
Yes. So I don't think I ever unwind. That's probably, I'm wired so tightly that I feel like I don't want to relax. I just want to keep going.
Right.
Like the little energy,
right.
energizer bunny.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously, time with family and friends.
Yes.
I love music.
Oh, that's
so
right.
much. I actually performed karaoke at our last trip to Jamaica.
What did you sing?
I sing New York State of Mind, Billy Joel.
Can you
song?
Can you give us? Can you drop a few bars?
Yeah. Let me take my glasses off. Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood.
I'm speechless.
Well, just a little something I do. So music really is my life.
That's incredible.
I grew up as a competitor in the equestrian world.
That's awesome.
And so horses are still very near and dear to my heart.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Anytime I can be around anything to do with horses,
mm-hmm.
I'm the first one to raise my hand and let's go.
That's amazing.
And then I love to travel. I've traveled the world. It feels like the world the mm-hmm. last 2 years. And so I've had some great trips. And we're in the vacation business.
Yeah.
And so it only seems right.
Exactly.
To vacation.
When you get the
chance. As often as I can.
Exactly. And you just got back from Jamaica, which is incredible.
And then as of late, planning a wedding for my daughter for next April.
Oh, congratulations.
So that's been a full-time hobby, if you will, lately.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe we use hobby loosely, because sometimes wedding planning can be
difficult.
If
you like dealing with Bridezilla 24/7, it could be a fabulous hobby. I highly recommend it.
Well, all of these things have given me ideas as well. I feel like I should go on another vacation here soon, maybe to Jamaica.
Don't go to where I went.
Oh, no. What
happened? Well, no, I went to the city of Kingston, but I do recommend Montego Bay or Negril.
Ooh.
Yeah. This was a business trip.
So. Oh, okay. So
yeah,
not
we
as
were
much
in
vacation.
The city.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Getting things done.
Yep, singing in the city.
Well, speaking of work, obviously you're in your current role. I would love to know, and of course you're excelling at it because you're a rock star. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Ooh, that's a toss-up. My dream was to be an actress or a singer.
Right, right, right.
And I feel
especially
like
after those bars.
Instead of being a struggling actress or singer without a job, yeah. I chose timeshare where I could still act and sing and get paid for it.
That's incredible.
So I'm sort of still fulfilling my original dream of being an actress.
Do you?
Am I acting now?
Yeah.
Maybe yes, maybe no.
What? You can't just say that.
That's how good I am.
We have to know.
No, this is not an act.
Oh.
This is all real.
Okay.
But that would have been my dream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about releasing an album, though? I mean, you could do that now. Just like put it out on Spotify.
Who wants to hear a 45-year-old woman sing? Did you catch that?
Everyone.
Listen.
Everyone would
listen,
love to hear
I watch. Sing. I watch these gals. Who's Camila? What's her name?
I know who you're talking about.
Camila.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know her last name.
I'm like, okay, so that's what people want to see and hear nowadays. No. I'll just hum a few bars every now and then. I'm waiting for John Sutherland to pull me up on stage at the Sammys, but so far.
I feel like we should campaign
for that. I feel like that could be...
That would be great.
If I can make it there, I can make it anywhere, really.
Talk about some team member engagement.
Yeah.
To have one of your own on stage killing it.
Yes.
You heard it here first, Beyond 180 Group. We're campaigning for Dee Dee to get on stage at the next Sammys.
Sorry, John.
All right. Last but not least, what makes you laugh the most? So far for me, this interview has been great, and I've been laughing a lot. But specifically for you, what makes you laugh the most?
I personally love Ron Burgundy's podcasts.
Yes.
Have you ever?
Oh, so I listened to a piece of it, but I haven't listened to everything.
No, he's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating that Will Ferrell performs this podcast, or he records it as Ron Burgundy the entire time.
The whole time. Never breaks character.
Which is a lot to keep up, I feel like.
I think he wears that burgundy suit when he does it, so that he reminds himself to stay in character. It's important.
Right.
But I just love comedy in general. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a funny family.
Yeah.
Except for my mom, God bless her. She was the straight man in the group, but everybody else was pretty funny. So I grew up laughing, and so I appreciate great comedy. And I think as of recently, I've listened to his podcast, and that's what's kept me laughing. Anything else I can answer?
Actually,
or is that it?
That covers
it. Does that cover it? Are we done?
For the most part, unless you'd like me to ask another question.
No, I think I'm good. I think my coffee break's over. I need to get back to... Get back to the office here. Walk across the street.
That's true. And
it's a long walk between buildings. So
at least it's cooled down a little bit, right? A few degrees. It's still a little hot.
I was just out there. It's not so cool.
Well, okay.
I'm all right. Don't worry about me. I'll make it.
Well, you let us know how we can
help you. I'll let you know if I made it back safely.
Yes.
Thank you for your time today.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come in and talk to me about marketing a vision and what our leaders can do just to not only create a vision that people are going to grasp onto, but continue to follow through with that vision. So thank you so much today.
You are so welcome.
That I have laughed that hard while talking to someone in a long time.
That was fun. Yeah, that was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Also, you know, I just threw out there in the intro that I hoped that she would sing. I didn't really expect her to sing. But then when she, like, came through for us on this vision I had, I am blown away. Also, I really feel like there needs to be a DD album out. I would buy it. Also, we should campaign for the Sammys.
Yep. Hashtag DD for Sammys.
Wait, stop it. I'm so bought in. That would be a great hashtag. Hashtag, all right, you heard it here first. Once again, hashtag DD for Sammys, spelled DEEDY, the number four, Sammys, SAMMYS. Because you can't use apostrophes in a hashtag, right?
No.
Okay, that doesn't work. So, yeah, no apostrophe on that Sammys, although I don't think it has one. Nonetheless, that's the hashtag, and that's what we're using. All right. Also, I just really enjoyed her perspective on what it means to truly market a vision. And I feel like even after this second episode, we're starting to see a trend that leadership is just really about investing in your people and understanding who those people are. And when you do those two things and also communicate, that came up quite a bit, then you're really able to make sure that whatever vision you have for your department or even the organization is carried out and you see it all the way through. So I really appreciate her perspective on that. I think the over-delegation took me by surprise.
Yeah. That was my biggest takeaway from this.
For sure. Because like I was mentioning, you hear about delegation all the time in time management, right? Or just in general, that's one of the skills that you need to learn as a leader. But I think there's definitely been cases where leaders maybe over-delegate and they forget to have that communication in place. And that's sort of unknowingly a way that a vision can fall through. Again, a great interview, but all of these leaders are phenomenal, and that's why they're on the show.
Only the best
for Beyond 180 and the Expansions Alumni Group, because y'all deserve it. So that wraps up the show for us today. So thank you for joining us. And as always, to subscribe and even listen to previous episodes, please be sure to go to academyld.com/beyond180. And there you can find all of our previous episodes. You can even subscribe to this exclusive podcast, because remember, it is not in iTunes or any other podcast stores. It is only found through academyld.com/beyond180. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Alex.
And I'm Jose.
And this is us signing off.